The ozone layer in our atmosphere protects life on Earth from harmful solar UV rays, and it's slowly healing from the effects of chlorofluorocarbons and other damaging chemicals emitted last century, and is expected to completely heal within the next 4 decades. But this progress can be undone by an upsurge in space rockets, because gases and particulates thrown off by these rockets as they punch through the atmosphere are known to thin the ozone layer, and that could undo all the healing that's been done so far. Dr. Michelle Bannister is a planetary scientist at Te Kuramatu, the University of Canberra and Aotearoa, New Zealand, and she's part of a team that's recently analysed this, and she joins us on the show this morning to have a chat all about this. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Kia ora, good morning.
So the ozone layer is so important, and how healthy is it now, currently?
Well, the ozone layer is in many ways one of these things that is an absolute success story for international cooperation. It's weird to think, but like when I was growing up, people were working flat tack to try and save it. And there was this amazing international agreement called the Montreal Protocol that everyone agreed on of let's get rid of this type of coolant that they were using in fridges primarily, and that turned out to be really harming the ozone layer. So that got phased out and the ozone layer started to heal. So at this point, you know, now in 2025, it's now on the way, well on the way to recovery. But there are still a lot of actions that we can take as a, you know, civilization that could potentially harm it in the future.
And that kind of brings us to these rocket launches, right? So what's the state of play with them right now?
So at the moment, the level of rocket launches is doing no harm to the ozone layer. So we tested the amount of launches that are currently taking place around the world, and that seems to be fine. But the thing is, everyone wants to launch more rockets to do some really cool stuff in space. And right, like I'm a planetary scientist. I'm keen on being able to do things like explore the solar system, and to do that, sure, you launch things into space. To do an amazing global near-Earth space economy, you launch things into space. And in particular, people have been keen to put up what are being called mega constellations, these thousands and thousands of low Earth orbit satellites that skim just a few hundred kilometers above us. And these things are like tens of thousands in number. And they're being done by the US, by China, by Europe, by a whole bunch of different countries around the world. And if they launch those at the rate that people are projecting, we're going to end up with so many launches taking place that myself and my colleague Laura Revel went, we should check that this is going to be okay for the ozone layer. And it turns out maybe not.
And so what could the impacts could be happening as a result of these rocket launches, and what would be the precise cause that's driving it?
So it does seem okay if we kind of go with under about 1,000 or so launches a year. But when we crank it up to, so that would be like the launch sites that we have at the moment, which are almost all in the Northern Hemisphere. If those are launching kind of once a week with the current rocket technology we have, it does a little bit of damage, but it doesn't do a lot of damage. But if we start cranking beyond about 2,000 launches a year, then we really do start to see the recovery of that ozone layer being slowed down. So it stops healing at the rate that we really want it to be healing. And the ozone layer is kind of important for all life on Earth. If we don't have it, a lot of stuff stops happening.
I
think it's got to be possible to do this sustainably, but clearly we just need to think about how we're going about it.
Yeah, I think it's good to reiterate just exactly how important the ozone layer is. It's been a couple of, I suppose, decades since there was that big push to save the ozone layer, and it sort of faded into distant memory. So could you just remind the listeners just what the ozone layer does and why it's so important to life on Earth, as you mentioned?
Yeah, so it's this little layer in the upper atmosphere at about 20 kilometers altitude or so, and it has this thin layer of a gas that you'd never really think about called ozone. But what it does is it stops the harmful wavelengths of sunlight, the really high the really high energy short wavelengths, ultraviolet wavelengths. And those wavelengths, if they get to the surface, they burn your skin, you get a really bad sunburn. But that's that protective layer is what allows all life on Earth as we know it today to exist. So it's important for human health, it's important for animal and bird life and everything else, and also for our crops and agriculture. If we start having the ozone layer break down, yeah, it's worse than climate change.
Yeah, right. So, what can we do to so we can still have these rocket launches and the benefits that they bring with all this great science that they're doing, but avoid further harm to damaging the planet? You mentioned limiting to about 1,000. Is there other strategies that we can put into place to protect the ozone layer from the rocket launches?
Yeah, so I think it's about launching smart rather than about launching more, I think is what we really need to be doing. So one of the things we found with doing our modeling of these is that the types of launch vehicle really matter. So if you're launching a rocket, there are different fuels that you can use for it. And one of them is what they call a solid rocket motor, where you're combusting aluminium and a hydrochlorine together. And what that happens is you've got this plume of material going from the ground surface all the way up through the stratosphere. And that leaves you with particles of aluminium and free-floating chlorine molecules that latch onto the ozone molecules and then react on the surface of the aluminium. And so that just catalyzes the destruction of the ozone. So those kind of solid rocket motor launches, they're really damaging. So if we can start to phase those down, that would help a ton. The solution is not necessarily, though, to switch to, like you might see some there's new vehicles being talked about. Sometimes they call them methalox, because they're methane and liquid oxygen and whatnot. They're actually kind of a liquid natural gas rocket, basically. And the thing is that still produces black carbon, and when it's combusted. And like carbon is like soot, right? The kind of thing you get from the big wildfires and bushfires and things that we get around the world as a function of climate change. If that gets in the stratosphere, that's not great either. But that black carbon you can get from a rocket, if you're producing vast amounts of it with really big rockets, that's not good either. So, yeah, we can't just switch to these kind of ones that are being tested if we make them too big. So there is a bit of balancing act here, but with some smart engineers thinking about how do we burn rocket fuel in such a way we make it as clean as possible, we get rid of the chlorine or any other kind of molecules related to chlorine, like bromine, that sort of thing, or we really dial down the black carbon as much as possible. There are ways we can look at this, but people have, like, we need the engineer to start looking at this as being a problem, and they haven't been up until now.
Yeah, it looks like it's something that we'll have to be thinking about much further. Not much further in the future, but very, very soon in the future as this rocket launcher starts to pick up. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's absolutely wonderful to have you on.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Michelle Bannister having a chat about the implications of continued rocket launches on the ozone layer and all the protection into the future as more rocket launches start to become launched in the near future.